On this episode of Not Terrible, we are going to discuss seasons of life. This is a fairly new term for me, I'd say, and I think, Mary, you're probably the one that introduced it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was more of a mental health term as opposed to a spiritual term, but this has roots in Christianity, correct?
Yeah, I think that's kind of where it originated. I think it's now just refers to any like section of your life that feels either tough or easy or, mm-hmm. you know, like
has any cycle. Has a specific theme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it started in like that Christianese culture of what season of life are you in?
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Not Terrible with your hosts, Jess Hooker and Mary Graham. Jess is a part-time vegan yogi. You can find her on her motorcycle, usually heading to therapy. Mary is a writer and Jesus follower. She loves camping almost as much as cheeseburgers. The Not Terrible podcast is two childhood friends who have been through the ringer, learned some tough lessons, and kept going. Jess and Mary share stories, advice, and lessons on each episode. They try to find humor in the chaos and learn from their mistakes in an attempt to feel less alone as they navigate life's journey.
I was telling my brother about it before he got here, and he was like, well, how long is each season? And I was like, that's not. Like, you know when it, roughly you know when it starts, when you look back on it, not necessarily in real time.
Mm-hmm.
But you also know that there's going to be an end to it.
Mm-hmm.
So what season of life are you currently in?
Mm.
Mm.
We talked about this before we hit record, and I still don't have a good answer for it. I'm acting shocked. I think right now, this is the fall of 2019, my season is slow and steady growth with a side of a lot of death still.
Yeah.
I'm getting rid of lots of things and learning how to do things maybe for the first time and baby stepping towards some good stuff, but we're still working on like the promise that it'll be there, and we're not seeing a lot of it. What about you? What's your current season?
I was trying really hard to listen to you and think about what my answer was.
It's very tricky to talk and listen.
I know it is.
You have to be professionals to do a podcast, is what we're saying.
I feel it's a very transitional time. We were talking about this a couple of days ago, but I feel like some big requests have been answered in my professional life, and also going, this is what you've wanted. Now you have it. Now do you still want it? So I think it's just going, okay, you know what? You have prayed hard and worked hard for this. And even though it's not what I have in mind for you, I'm going to give it to you so that you can be at peace.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's a transition time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just accepting that these are things that I kind of have to experience so that my very, very human brain will say, okay, I did that. And now I know that it's not for me. Instead of God going, no, we're actually, what I need you to do is this way. And me going, no, we got a detour. I got to go do this really
mm-hmm.
quick, you know? And so he's letting me take that detour, and he's like, yeah, but we're still going to get back to where I need you to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I don't know if transition is the word. It's just like experience. Like it's just, I'm having some experiences that I need to go through before I can, I don't want to say get to the good stuff, but get to, get back on the path that God has for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad. It's not like some of the really shitty off-road work I've done before, but this is just hey, yes, we're just doing life right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would describe as an expert on your life.
Yes.
Thank you. I would just maybe the word for that is growing.
Yeah.
It's the season of growing. Like you've sowed a lot of seeds, mm-hmm. and some of them are taking off and others are purposely not taking off, and you're mm-hmm. kind of seeing what sticks a little bit.
Yeah.
That sounded like a question, but it wasn't a question. I think would you agree that you have just come out of a season of like loss and death?
Extreme hardship.
So the next step has to be growth. Like it doesn't yes. die and you don't lose things mm-hmm. and then you don't stay there forever. Like something new kind of pops up. And I think that's you're in that second part now.
Yes.
Not like the rest, not the,
no,
not maybe a lot of just like too good to be true joy. I think that we get mm-hmm. those occasionally, but you're not there yet either. It's just like,
no,
starting like little bits of hope.
Yeah. Yeah. Our stories are never done, but I think that there's some big happenings that happen in our story that make us breathe a little bit easier, maybe. Mm-hmm. And those are those good moments that you're talking about. So I think that right now I'm, like I said, I'm having some experiences that I need to have to get to some of that joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we talked earlier about, in like when we get something we think we want, sometimes it only serves to show us like fine tune what we actually wanted, you
right.
know, like how often we get something and it's not what we thought it would be. And it's always better in our head. And that helps us just like understand more about like what we truly do want and versus what isn't made for us.
Yeah. I read somewhere online where it breaks down the seasons in terms of like literal seasons, in that like winter is a dark time and you come, and it's basically like your birth, like you come out of a dark place
mm-hmm.
and you go from winter and you kind of transition into that spring, that like becoming, I don't know if it's like that first few years of life, like that, or maybe it's until you're an adult, maybe like you're learning and you're absorbing information and all these things. It's that, and then you get into your early adulthood, and then that's your summer, that's your work, like you're like, and it said something like from your 20s to your 50s is like your summer season of mm-hmm. you just like putting in the work and planting the seeds and doing the things, and then
gathering.
Fall, yes, yeah. Yeah, and then fall comes and you reap what you sow,
mm-hmm.
and then you kind of, and then you die and you go back into winter where it's dark and it's, yeah, and it's cold, and I was just like, I don't like this at all.
Delete.
So then I dug a little deeper and I found that that there are, and I don't know if it was just specific to this website, but I like this and I thought this would be a good outline for our episode, but that there's six different spiritual seasons.
Okay.
And it started with, I don't think these are in any particular order, but the dry season. And it's a time when God seems quiet or he seems distant. And the suggestion is that maybe you examine your life. Do you have some issues of the heart? Do you have, are you not living a godly life? Do you have some unconfessed sins? Do you have some things that you need to address with God that would make God feel distant from you?
Mm-hmm.
Not that he actually is, but that you would feel that he is.
Yeah. Guys, I don't know. I don't know. I've never heard this. I'm just processing.
Yeah.
Before we go on, when I was thinking about seasons just now, what you were saying about the depressing thing about winter and you die, I'm not going to be able to recover from that. But also, I think we use seasons in a lot of areas, not just spiritual ones. Like, you know, like there's a season of life where you're raising kids,
yeah.
and there's a season of life when you're an empty nester. There's a season mm-hmm. of life when you're saving, and there's a season of life when you're spending more. Like it's just like this rhythm or cycle,
mm-hmm.
and it, it's not based on like a certain number of days or a certain amount of years, but just like the awareness that whatever I'm in right now is not going to be forever. Mm-hmm. That what's happening today or what's happening this month isn't what will happen for the rest of my life, makes seasons more, you know, welcoming.
Yeah. And manageable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe not so devastating.
Right.
I don't know if that's actually helpful to hear when you're in the worst season, though, because if someone told me, hey, right, this won't last forever, when I'm, you know, at the bottom of the barrel, like, I would punch them and not be encouraged by that. So mm-hmm. I think looking at this from the when your perspective is a little healthier or calmer, is good, because then you can like fall back on it. But if you learn about this in a time when things are just horrible, like,
you wouldn't, it's not the time to absorb this. No. Yeah. Yeah.
What are some other seasons that you found?
The waiting season, which is, maybe that's what I'm in. It's a time where you're actually learning to wait well. Does that sound strange? But it's just
That's like a legit skill that most people don't have.
No, learning to wait well. And also, in my mind, I thought, well, this is a time where your faith grows, because even though there's not anything horrible happening and there's nothing really great happening, there's God still at work. Mm-hmm. And so that's where you just go, okay, you know what? I'm just going to be faithful, and I'm going to be here, and I'm going to show up still in our relationship, and I'll just wait. So I feel like that's kind of where I am right now, mm-hmm. in a waiting season.
Like a little holding pattern.
Yeah. Hmm. But it said something about, God is pruning you. And he's chiseling away the things that you're not going to need for the season to come. Hmm. Well, that was interesting. I like that one.
Maybe it helps then to have open hands when mm-hmm. things feel like they're being ripped from you, and to understand a little bit better that it's for your good.
Yeah.
Even when it doesn't feel like it.
Yeah. Because coming out of the season that I was just in, I mean, I was holding on to things like white knuckle, just, I mean, things that I knew I needed to let go of. People I need to let go of, relationships, substances. There was just too many things that I was holding on tight to. And literally, if I just opened my hand, I mean, 80% of my problems would have gone away.
Yeah, but like that's steeped in fear and mm-hmm. unknown and like mm-hmm. control, you know, things that we all love. So us calmly talking about those things in hindsight
now, it's
versus in the middle of it, mm-hmm. just two different mindsets.
Mm-hmm. Because even at that time I had convinced myself, no, this is what God wants for me, and he wants me to fight for it. And this is just like, yeah, but you're also slowly killing yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a busy season. And it just talks about how we've talked about this before in past episodes about, like, we live in a culture that idolizes busyness. Like, somehow that validates you to be that busy.
And you're more important if you have lots of things to do.
Yes. Like, mm-hmm. if you can whine about not having enough time, and, mm. and, the suggestion is that you recognize, you organize, and you prioritize. And I was like, oh, I like that. I should pay attention to that.
Say those again.
Recognize, mm-hmm. organize, and prioritize. And the priority being that you can be busy as long as you're chasing God first. Like, if your feet hit the ground in the morning and you're like, all right, what's the plan for today? What do you have in store for me? That's a good place to start, mm-hmm. instead of starting with your emails and your social media, which may be something that I struggle with. And, so I've started leaving my phone downstairs actually at night, with the kids' phones, so that I don't wake up and look at my phone first thing. And that's been a practice in as soon as I wake up and going, okay, you have to pray first. That's what you're going to do. So it's been helpful.
I learned that a while ago, of just like, if I want to get on my phone, I have to get out of my bed. Mm-hmm. Like, I just can't. I can't pick up my phone and lay in bed to look at it.
Yeah.
I just can't. because then I won't get up, or I'll.
And it's like an hour later.
Right, and I'm just. It's a worse way to start your day, and also it. You just skipped all the things you actually should be doing. So, if you want to get up and look at your phone, cool. But don't be in your bed to do it. Right. That's like what I tell myself. And then once I'm up, like I don't do it.
Yeah, because then I'm like, oh, I have too many other things.
Yeah,
I'm very busy.
I'm very busy.
Tests and trials, which we have hit on. In these moments, it's just all the things. It's all the awful things that you feel like, oh my gosh, can one more bad thing happen? Mm-hmm. But usually when awful things are happening, that's because there's going to be a reason revealed for why. I don't know. That's what it said. But I think it's just, I think that trials, there's growth. That's where growth lies. That's where, like I said, faithfulness earlier, that's where that lies too. I think as I said that, I was realizing like bad things don't, like God doesn't make bad things happen for a reason. Like right. When people say, oh, it happened for a reason. Yeah, no, that's, the bad thing is not a part of the reason. Like it happened.
God can make good in any situation. That right. doesn't mean he causes bad necessarily to make, well, I don't know. I think you kind of had the thought the same time you were saying it that I was thinking it is like, we don't always know the reason.
Right.
And sometimes things just don't make sense and they won't ever. Mm-hmm. And that's hard to like understand, especially when you feel like you're just getting continually punched. I mean, you hope this is for something good, but
right.
What if it's not? You know, like if you think about something really, really bad happening when your kid dies, like you can't be like, well, God wanted me to go through this pain. I don't think he did, you know?
No. But it had a couple of things, and I didn't want to fix it because I feel like we all of us can attest to the test and trials season of our life. Like, and it all looks different for all of us, but we can all look back and go, yep, I know what that was. I know when that was. I know the things that happened that made me feel that way. But it made the suggestion, let him do the work that only he can do. So again, I know I feel like I keep saying faithfulness, but that's a big theme in my life right now. So it's going to come up on this podcast, deal with it. And it also said in when you're experiencing a hard season, try to fixate on the heavenly things and not the worldly things. Those are temporary.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I know you and I have had the discussion recently too about how we try to build this perfect life. Like that's the goal, is to have a perfect life. And we were talking about it, and in real time we're going, it's not supposed to be perfect here. Like, why are we working towards a perfect life? Perfect isn't here on this planet. That's not where that happens.
Yeah. Like, there can be moments that feel like heaven.
Yeah.
But the reality is like those pass pretty fast, because until heaven, like there is no, I mean, as long as sin is around, we cannot do that.
It's just not. Yeah. This is an interesting one that I found, and I feel like you could, I hope that you can't speak on it, but I feel like this will, you know what? That was a horrible setup. I'm just going to say it.
No, I'm confused and intrigued.
spiritual warfare.
Ooh.
Yeah. When someone comes after your belief system and or your God or your church or anything like that, that they claim that as a season, and that happens. And that's probably for someone who has had a relationship with God your entire life, basically, that's probably happened to you. For me, that hasn't. I feel like it has happened, but it's happened exactly the way I see it. It happens from the people in my life who had taught me not to believe in God, that that it's a farce, and you don't, and so now I'm getting kickback from it now in the last few months.
So this is a huge topic that I will probably mess up and also not hit all the points on, just because that's not what the topic of this podcast is. But if you believe in God, then you also believe in the opposite of God, which is Satan. And they're basically at war with each other, and God wants to reconcile himself to us, to you know, bring us into heaven with him. Satan is working hard to make that not happen. And he also wants people with him in hell. Like that's the idea. So spiritual warfare then is when, like Satan is actively coming to get you. And
there should be this, they made this suggestion that there should be a little bit of, I don't know if rejoicing is the word, but you're doing something right if he's coming for you.
Yeah, if he's worried about you, if he's paying attention specifically to you. So a lot of times, if you are an unbeliever and you don't believe in God, you don't have a relationship with him, for the most part, Satan doesn't care about you because you're already his. Like, that's how it works. But, like, for you right now who is asking and growing and doing some really obedient, hard things, this would, in some way, there might be some spiritual warfare going on in your life to make things harder for you to do what you know you should be doing because it's dangerous that he's getting ready to lose you.
Yeah.
So we're coming up, next week is Chris's 2-year sobriety mark, and we have been on this journey long enough to know pretty quickly that when something good is getting ready to be celebrated, we're also going to have a lot of sticky stuff come up. Mm-hmm. And, just in the past month, his mom, who has been told that she is not welcome in our home or in our lives, has made her presence known multiple times. Mm-hmm. And Chris has had a couple really hard counseling sessions that have started to make some holes that he didn't have information of make sense. That is spiritual warfare. The things that he's going to have to start addressing in counseling could destroy him. Like he said, he's not ready to handle them. He doesn't know how he will be able to. That, like, the devil would love nothing more than to steal Chris Graham's sobriety, because he is helping too many people, and showing that, you know, you can be free of addiction and if you do these things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, spiritual warfare is an odd thing to talk about, because it's a realm that we don't always understand completely. But if you believe that God exists, then you believe that there's someone that working against God, and that he's going to show up when it's dangerous to lose something that he thought he had.
So it's almost like in these times of what I'm going to go into as a happy season, it seems like that's when spiritual warfare might be the most present.
Maybe. I mean, he's a thief. He wants to steal joy,
right,
and peace and freedom and all the things that God wants to give you. And those are of God, and he doesn't want you to have things of God, because he would love you to be a lot more miserable.
During a happy season, they reference, you know, marriage and babies and the dream job and even graduation and travel, just all those types of things, with the point being, don't forget to continue to praise God in the happy season too.
Yeah. And that this is, like, I think there is a part of this that's a continuous cycle. Like, you might have all these, like, hit all those moments 50 times in your life, you know, like, it's a, you, and I think the power comes from understanding that all of them are temporary, and that if you keep going, there will be relief or reprieve at some point. It will come back too, but it won't last forever.
Yeah. And acknowledging that there are seasons at all can relieve some suffering.
Yeah.
Like you said, that there's a lot of suffering that lay in absolutes. Like, this is going to be forever. It's always been this way. And it's never going to get better, and those types of things. So just knowing that it's temporary.
Mm-hmm.
It's temporary.
Yeah. I remember when my sister, so my first niece only lived 32 days, and that first day of leaving Riley, knowing that she wasn't alive anymore, like, I didn't understand how we could ever, like, go mm-hmm. back to being happy, you know, yeah. like, that you could feel something this horrible and recover from it, or ever find, like, real joy, or not wake up every day and think about it as the mm-hmm. very first thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, 12 and a half years out, like, it still sucks. Like, I wish she was here, but there is still peace and joy, and still mm-hmm. like good things that have come since that. I don't know.
Do you remember that being for you? I mean, not just, I mean, obviously your sister would identify that as a time, mm-hmm. but for you and a being a niece, do you remember that whole experience, like that being an isolated incident, or was that time in your life a time, a hard time, a time of trial? Or if you were just witnessing your sisters.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Yeah. Because it was the first time I had lost, I mean, I still had all my grandparents at the time. Oh, it was wow. the first time I had experienced death up close.
Yeah.
And I had to learn how to keep, like, it infuriated me that we still had to live here without mm. her. Yeah. So, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, of course, I wasn't the mom, so I experienced it differently, but yeah. I mean, that was the first grandchild in our family. Like, nobody knew anything was wrong until she was born. There was just like, and that was really, I mean, I'd had a couple friends pass away, or like older relatives, but that was the first like up and close
immediate family.
Yeah. And the yeah. first maybe time that I had someone that there was no, like, she should have been alive, you right. know, like there wasn't anything that made sense about why right. she was okay. not alive anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know.
Huh. This has made me wonder what season I'm in, with Addie, because I feel like that situation, especially with, like you said, with a child, like this, there's no, this doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
This really, really feels like it doesn't make any sense. And I can't really begin to understand what curveball you're going to throw that's going to make this make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's been a lot of suffering for our immediate family for a long time. And, you know, this year, like every time it comes up, I think, you know, after this year, we're going to have more years with Addie with seizure disorder than we did with Addie without. And that just feels like that time is going to be just gone.
Mm-hmm.
So there's times where I see her and I know what a gift she is. I always know what a gift she is, but I ask a lot of questions. And sometimes they're very angry and rage filled. And so I almost feel like I have this completely separate storyline of seasons just with her situation,
mm-hmm.
because it can be minute by minute that we're experiencing different seasons with Addie, yeah. you know, and how we feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's moments of happy where it's just like, I took a picture of her yesterday and I put it online because I felt like in that picture, I could see her. I could see her without the seizure disorder. I could see her without
Addie.
The delay. Yeah. I could see her heart. I could see
who
I
she
could
was
see
made
what
to
I
be.
Need to see. Yeah. What I should see all the time.
Yeah.
But when you're that up close to, like you said, when you're that close to a situation, it's hard to see
mm-hmm.
what I'm supposed to see instead of, like the
emotions.
Yeah, yeah, the emotions and all of it that's attached to it. But like yesterday, I was just full of gratitude and just happy. But then that thief of joy kind of swoops in and is like, yeah, but this isn't it. This isn't what it is. She could have a seizure at any moment. You might get a phone call in an hour. You don't know what's going to happen. And it's just a cycle. Like I said, it's just a separate storyline, a separate cycle of seasons with her. And I think a lot of people have those situations. I feel like that's kind of been the case with Chris almost too, that there's just, it is just, oh my gosh, yeah. Peaks and valleys.
I agree. Like that, you make a good point, is like, I think you can also have two kind of parallel seasons at the same time. Like, right. Your work life can be going great and your home life can be falling apart. Or you could have a new relationship that feels awesome and amazing and your family could be, you know, like breaking, like just
yeah.
all
no,
like
true. Yeah.
Maybe there's different parts of your life that are experiencing different seasons at the same time. And then you look back later and you could kind of describe that season as one thing, but there's all these different things going on at the same time where some can be joy and some can be pain and some can be growing and some can be death all within the same week or day or with Addie or with a million other people, like every minute to minute. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think kind of when you brought up Chris's name, like I think two steps forward and one step back is kind of like how we grow, like how his growth is happening and how a lot of his recovery is. And I think that maybe that's because we're paying so much attention to him right now that it feels like that's just a him thing, but maybe that's just a human thing of like, no matter how far you think you're going, like at some point you're going to feel like you're backsliding a little bit, and then you go forward a little bit more, and then there's the season of, man, it feels like nothing is working right now, and then you find your footing and you keep going again. So there's just like a lot of metaphors in that story.
There are, but it's but you sparked something for me in terms of like, who are you in other people's seasons? You know, like what role do we play in those moments? And I know, I guarantee you, for the last 3 years, I have played really, really, really shitty role. just like, I was here to make this season harder for people. It's like, oh, you're having a hard season. Well, I'm here to help.
Well, let me get in there.
Yeah, and I hit and I did. I mean, not only that, but I was contributing to my own time of pain and worthlessness and just all of that. But maybe, you know, misery loves company, and when you're in that season, you want everybody to be in it with you.
Yeah, I think that kind of bleeds in a little bit with, like, just like, and not to hurt your feelings, but that sounds like toxic.
Yeah, no, yeah, for sure.
So like that description of someone being toxic, I don't think you completely control everything in your life, but you might have more of the toxic or more of the bad seasons or the rough seasons, depending on how healthy or unhealthy you are.
For sure.
Like if I'm healthy, I make better choices that have better consequences. If I'm unhealthy and I'm toxic, I make bad choices that just create more bad things for me.
Right.
You know, like not just you, anyone. Like
anyone.
When,
yeah. And I think that also, and as you grow and become better and learn more and grow your relationship with God too, that those seasons don't fluctuate as much. Maybe that a season, you know, a bad season maybe is like seasonal depression. Like it's not that bad, and it really literally will end with the season. I don't know, but that I think that with more knowledge becomes better coping.
Yeah, I agree with that. And not that bad things don't happen when you're
healthy.
Yeah, but you maybe that's what we're kind of saying is like when there's health, you have better eyes to see all the parts and seasons of whatever you're experiencing in life. Maybe that's the goal a little bit, is just grow in awareness and
to know that God is present in all those seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this isn't necessarily a not terrible. Yeah, we'll make it a not terrible. A not terrible season edition. Mm. Do you remember your best season? Ooh. I wish I had some of that corny like television music that'd be like do 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 do, and then we thought about it.
I don't know. Do you have an answer? And you could go first. Oh man, I could tell you my best year.
Okay, let's do that.
My freshman year of high school, I was living my best life.
Were you really?
Oh man, I would go back to my freshman year of high school in a minute.
Really?
1996.
Yeah, I was there.
Were you though? I was living my best life. I don't know. Like, it was just so much fun of mm-hmm. all my years of high school. I think it was the last year, like, I was too young to have a job.
Right.
I had freedom as long as my parents could take me somewhere right. or we could get a ride with someone, but I wasn't in charge of driving. Mm-hmm. Like, it was my first year of high school, and I thought I was big shit, right. and I wasn't. But, like, I think there was just, like, this innocence of that year.
I was going to say, like, void of responsibility.
Yes. Like, that was I think that was the last year of, like, just a whole lot yeah. of kid things where you're aware enough to know that this is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then you turn 16 and you have to get a job and, like, things. I don't know. I have always loved that year.
Yeah.
1996.
That's good.
I know that's not really what you're expecting with this answer, but like.
No, I'm happy for you.
It's been downhill since then is what I'm saying.
College was okay. You worked all through college and supported yourself through college. I had 3 years of just, you know.
Fun.
Just fun. Like. Yeah. Working enough to pay for the party that weekend type mm-hmm. stuff. And, but I'm going to say the summer of 2002 was pretty good. It was pretty good. I lived in a house off campus with two friends. And I mean, it was like all the dumb college things that could happen, but it felt okay.
Like,
it was a very fun time.
It was good, but it was just,
it wasn't my best time, but it was a really fun time. Mm-hmm. Because I would be pregnant later that year, but it was a
plot
really
twist.
Yes, I went out on a high note. Is all I'm saying.
Like there was nothing especially great about me being a freshman in high school either. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I just enjoyed that year so much. Like there was just some kind of thrill about it.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. That's how I feel. It was just fun. It was just really fun. And like I said, it's not the best, but it was a fun one. And I may have to reflect on this a little bit more.
Me too.
That's funny that you brought up our freshman year because I wrote a story about my very first interaction, like my high school interaction with my ex-husband mm-hmm. because I'm trying to trace back some themes and do some things. Mm-hmm. So I wrote it. It was a night we were all together and we were at our friend Lori's house. I don't know if you remember all this, but
was
you
this
were
New
there.
Year?
No, it was like after a basketball game, maybe.
I don't. Tell me more.
So, well, I'll let you proofread it. maybe I'll print it or do something with it, publish it. But yeah, I was just like, and it was, when you started to say that, I was like, yeah, I kind of remember that too. Like just so much innocence and just
like fun. Innocent. Yeah. You didn't understand what you're getting into or what was up ahead.
Yeah.
And just a way that it was like a bubble maybe.
Yeah,
there
was.
And fresh at the end of, you know, by the end of.
No big, like, and it, we were all still kind of friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like before we did some growing and like broke off and some of us made a lot worse decisions than others. I'm actually not talking about either of us at all.
I'm excited to know who we're talking about.
No, but it was just like, it was kind of like that same.
We were still kids.
Still kids.
And we were just like enjoyed like that kid entertainment thrill.
Yeah.
Like
just hanging out.
Yeah.
Yeah. There wasn't anything to really do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why I liked it. If I thought too much about it, I'm sure I would remember the bad things too and then and ruin my that year and then I have no answer for you.
All right. Well, that was a good I like this episode. This is a good one. Short
I liked
and sweet.
It too. Yeah.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
You've been listening to Not Terrible with Jess Hooker and Mary Graham. Connect with the podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Not Terrible Podcast. Visit them at NotTerriblePodcast.com for show notes and additional content. You can sign up for their newsletter to receive bonus episodes and podcast extras. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast provider. Not Terrible is recorded in conjunction with The Chick McGee Show and Off the Air Podcast. Recorded in the Front Room Studio, this has been a Waco production.